League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Soccer matters. The US with Dempsey.
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside. Spain score.
Entonces el centro.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, if that doesn't get you motivated, I don't know what will. It is a world full of football right now. Between the Gold Cup and the FIFA Club World Cup, we're about a year out from the World Cup. Here in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And, of course, we have seven World Cup matches here in Houston. I want to remind you, tomorrow night we've got Destination 2026. Houston's road to the Cup tomorrow night. And look forward to having you on that show tomorrow night, listening in, as we will continue interviewing players that have played in World Cups, people that are behind the scenes, history. Tomorrow night we'll have David Fletcher from Lone Star Sports and Entertainment on as well. Quick reminder here, Hall of Fame, Booker T, Brad Gilmore coming up next. Love that guy, Booker T. Love that guy. Interviewed him once on TV at the stadium. He had a Dynamo jersey on. Super guy. Super guy and a great story. And, yes, a Hall of Fame wrestler. All right, this segment now, we welcome you back. Federico DeMichelis joins us now. Federico, how are you?
Doing good, Glenn. A lot of soccer, a lot of things to talk about.
You are my favorite opera singer, by the way.
I'll take that.
Yes,
I'll take
you're that. My favorite opera singer. All right. You're Argentine. I'm going to get right at it. Boca Juniors, River Plate start off good in this tournament. Don't advance. What's the fallback back home in fallout back home in Argentina with the press, the fans? A little bit of insight.
Yeah, it's disappointing, right? Especially when the Brazilian teams are doing so good, and rightfully so. You know, there's a big difference between the leagues. One that is used to watching both leagues, you know, the Brasileirao, everything that happens in Brazil and what's happening in Argentina now. The difference is just notable. It really is.
More competitive in Brazil in your mind?
100%.
Yeah. So we've got Fluminense against Al Hilal. We've got Palmeiras. They've advanced to the quarterfinals. They'll take on Chelsea. I have found these matches, as much as I've been critical, like many people, about the workload and all. And by the way, we don't know, in my opinion, we don't know what's going to happen when it comes to injury and other things based on volume of workload here. I think there's a lot of unknown out there. But just seeing these opportunities for Brazilian teams against European teams, Argentine teams. We saw Al Hilal beat Manchester City. I mean, I think some of these matchups have just led to great opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's what you were saying earlier. You know, it's really, you know, it brings back the spirit of soccer in a way. Sure, in a context that's not the best. You know, we know the amount of money, we know the amount of interests. You know, we know what this is all about. But at the same time, the competition is there. You know, both European teams and South American teams, and you know, everybody that has participated in the tournament has competed very seriously. So, and that's good to see. You know, from every aspect of the game. Now, the prices, sure. You know, the injuries that will come in the season for European teams, in particular. You know, of course, in South America it's different because we're in the middle of it all. I've really enjoyed it much more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I'm the same. I was extremely skeptical in the beginning. I wondered how serious the tournament would be taken. I think some of the European teams get into these games with the Brazilian teams, and it almost becomes like, look, we better compete or we could be embarrassed.
Oh, they want to win. Everyone wants to win. You know, South America is going for the glory, if you want to put it that way, and Europe knows that they don't. You know, the difference is not that big. There are certain leagues in Europe. There are certain teams that we all know are elite. You know, and there they are. But when you think about the vast majority of teams in European leagues, playing against a Flamengo or a Botafogo, or, you know, in a good day against River or Boca, Racing was the best team in Argentina right now. They weren't called for the World Cup, but it's, you know, the difference is not that big, if there is any, really.
But we've tapped into the mother lode of differing soccer cultures, mm-hmm, competing against each other, and to see South American teams and teams from other parts of the world getting a crack at European teams. And, you know, we're very Eurocentric in this country when it comes to what we're consuming as soccer fans. I mean, let's face it, and I have to correct myself here because there's a ton of Liga MX fans too. But, you know, you hear a lot of Premier League, and Bundesliga. But I think they have really tapped into something unique, which is giving opportunity to South American teams and others to go up against the big brands in Europe.
Yeah. And you know, I understand there's a lot of talk about the quality, right? I remember Mbappe said a couple of months ago, you know, well, you know, European teams are in a different level of this and that. But this is not only about the different level of soccer. It's also about how you play the game. It's also about the pressure. It's also about the talk. It's also about, you know, the fans. It's also about, you know, receiving a little punch, a little elbow, a little, you know, everywhere in every single play. And those are things that take you completely off the game that you're trying to play. And, you know, sure, it might not be the most, elegant way to win a game. But in the end, you know, this is what this game is about. You know, you can win pretty, you can win, you know, ugly games. It might not be the most beautiful thing to watch on TV, but the games are there to be won.
Okay, know? Quarterfinals again, Fluminense, Al Hilal, Palmeiras, Chelsea, PSG, Bayern, and then you've got you've got Real Madrid getting the winner of Monterrey and Dortmund tonight. So there's another fantastic. I mean, what a monster opportunity for Monterrey. Rayados tonight will go up against Borussia Dortmund. There will be people tuned in all over Houston to that game. What a monumental opportunity for them, and fascinating because of the differences in culture.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one because you really don't know what to expect. I mean, in a way, Dortmund has some more, I guess I would put it in the top tier of European teams, and Monterrey, while they are definitely a team that has competed and done great things in Latin America, not having Mexico in the Libertadores also makes, you know, the CONCACAF teams have a different flavor, a different way of understanding the game. So I'm looking forward to it. I really don't know what to expect.
Hypothetical. What if a Brazilian team was playing a friendly in Houston? How do you think it would draw? Because I think, for me, this tournament has showcased them. It's platformed their brands. It has shown us that there are Brazilian fans that are going to flock to see Brazilian teams. And they're probably coming from differing cities and all meeting in one area. But, man, there's some opportunity there. I think those that are TV rights holders of Brazilian football are looking at this. I think other networks are examining this now as, you know, something that you could invest in, do more star building, do more historical talk about these teams that are extremely rich in history. Yeah. But, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if we saw a Brazilian team maybe come to Houston and play Tigres or play Club America? That would be pretty cool.
Would be amazing. I mean, one of my dreams is to see the Libertadores be the whole continent. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine. I mean, to have anything. You can think about, you know, a Medellin Timbers, you know, or that would be amazing.
No, I think that's, we love the crossover, and the crossover provides opportunity. It provides measurement. It provides platform. All right. Speaking of measurement, the beatdown that PSG put on Leo Messi and Inter Miami, how bad for MLS was that, if bad at all?
I don't know. You know, I don't think so. I think it was completely expected. I mean, who would have thought anything different could have happened? I really don't think it was that big of a deal. Of course, one would have liked to see Inter, you know, fight a little more, you know, but you do what you can with what you have, and the difference is, you know, it's just too much right now. It's gigantic.
The interesting thing about that game is that's more defending than Inter Miami will do the entire season in Major League Soccer, because they play every game and they've got the better of the possession with, you know, Alba, Busquets.
It's an attempt to defend. You know, you do what you can, but when you have those players against you, you know.
You love getting taken out of your nature. That's what you want to do to an opponent. PSG was unbelievable. I mean, slick as a machine. European champions a couple weeks ago, and here they are against Inter Miami. I think Inter Miami crossed the halfway line like three times in the first half. That's about it. All right, we got a lot more. We got some Dynamo talk. Want to get into some Gold Cup talk with Federico. We're going to take a quick break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big shout out to Senate Avenue Brewing. That's a great place to go and watch the game tomorrow night. The U.S. men's national team will be in action at 6 o'clock Central Time, taking on Guatemala. Guatemala is a great Gold Cup story, that's for sure. And take a quick break. We'll come back. We got more with Federico, and then we'll finish it up tonight with Brian Chiaretta of American Soccer Now.
Best in Houston Sports Talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, the best in Greek food, lamb shanks, gyros, souvlakis, three locations, Montrose, my favorite, the original. And then you can go up to the new one in the Woodlands. They had a ribbon cutting out there with Dimitri a couple months back. It's a beautiful location out there. And then, of course, I-10 and the Beltway. And then you'll get the best in Greek food. Lamb Shank, absolutely love it. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, Federico, thoughts on the Gold Cup from you real quick, because we got our semifinals. We got Mexico, Honduras. We've got the United States and Guatemala. No matter who gets to the final, there's going to be a big crowd July 6th, Sunday, out at Energy Stadium.
Yeah, that should be sold out, no doubt. It's been a great tournament as well, you know, and it's kind of tough because there's not enough time in the day to watch everything that we want to watch. But great. I mean, great. I mean, I've been loving it.
Yeah, no question about it. And we'll see what happens in the semis. They will be tomorrow night. All right, I want to play this sound from Olivier Giroud. He's leaving LAFC. He's going back to the French League. Here's Olivier Giroud.
You know football. You understand that in one sense, yeah, I didn't really fit to maybe the game style, I would say. So just being honest, I try to adapt. I try my best one more time, but I can't do something I'm not used to do, you know, and I don't know how to do. So we use a lot of the sides, the wings, the pace. We did not use to cross a lot, which is my main strength in a box, you know, and yeah, I had a feeling that we play a lot in transition, so it's not the best for me, but I always try to give my best to the team, you know, always in a good mentality. It's been tough sometimes because I've been not playing much, but I always stay positive, like I've done all my career. You know, I've been through also difficult moments back in the days at Arsenal and Chelsea at the end of my contract when I was not playing much. And I always succeed to bounce back, you know, and to stay confident because I know my qualities. I know what can I bring to the team, but I know what I can't do also. So I think it's a time to say goodbye now and one more time to wish all the best to the boys because I love them and yeah.
So there was Olivier Giroud. So I'm going to go right to this. We know he's a traditional center forward. We know he's not a transition type guy. So I'm saying to myself, okay, he's a big name. He's the all-time leading goal scorer for France. That was the all-time leading goal scorer for France. You were just listening to there tell you that he could not adapt to LAFC and Steve Cherundolo in the transition game that they play. And you just got to wonder, you know, you do have to have stars in LA. I get it. But boy, it wasn't the right fit.
It makes you wonder, you know, who makes the decisions and why, you know. You're building a team. You're bringing one of the top strikers in the world, you know. So why do this? You know, why play a style that you know it just doesn't go with them? And that's not to say that they're not a good team. You know, we all know they are. But, you know, having those tools, you know, in your toolbox and just not using them sounds familiar. Here in Houston.
Yeah, it wasn't a fit, and I really appreciate how heartfelt he was there, though. He was really straight up honest. When he was in Houston, I watched him warming up very closely. He didn't look comfortable, and he didn't look comfortable in the game either, so no surprise. By the way, Toronto's offloading Insigne and Bernardeschi as well, so those guys are gone. All right, let's switch gears here real quick. Houston Dynamo, your thoughts on the St. Louis game? I called that game on Apple TV, the local call. Your thoughts?
I thought, the first half was one of the most boring games we've seen all season. Very, very little, almost no soccer, you know, just very little happening the first half. Second half, everything changed. And the main reason was, you know, your guest here a few minutes ago, Lauren Sinali. We talked about this before. The Houston Dynamo needs someone that's going to break lines, someone that's going to take a 1v1, someone that's going to be able to wake things up a little bit for the team.
Yeah, the fan base woke up. The second half was exciting. I had Daniel Starris, the Dynamo defender, in the booth shadowing me, and boy, it was a really... I'm telling you, it was a pedestrian first half. There wasn't a lot to get excited about, but there was when Anali came in the game, it changed. Kovalchuk came off the bench and played well, Ladero, and things started happening in the second half. Here's Federico, who went around after the game and got the reaction from Dynamo fans, very mixed.
How do you guys keep the game tonight?
I'm glad we won. I thought it was boring as hell.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs like this?
I hope so, but I don't think so.
What did you think about Anali when he came in?
He's great. Great to see him on the field again.
What did you think of the performance of the team?
There was a lot of energy behind the play. There was some opportunities late at the end where it looked like we were slipping, but they were able to close it out.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs?
I don't know.
What did you think of the performance of the team tonight?
They did not play their best today. It was pretty obvious. Some of their key players were missing.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs playing like this?
If they continue to play like this now.
What did you think of the performance tonight?
The Dynamo were a little sleepy, I think, in the first half. It wasn't pretty, but they got the 3 points.
Are you hopeful about the playoffs?
I'm always hopeful.
What did you think of the performance tonight?
It was honestly refreshing to see Ezequiel Ponce score a goal. We're going through a little bit of a dry spell, but I have faith that it can only go up from here, brother.
I love it. So you think we're going to make the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs this season?
Well, it's a little early, but, you know, anything can happen the way MLS is structured, you know.
What did you think of the team tonight, the performance?
Very good second half. It's just sometimes too much battling. I mean, and I don't know if Ben Olsen can read the games, honestly. Because there's no changing anything, you know? Same thing, too much passing, I don't know.
What do you think of Finale's coming in the second half?
Oh, the German guy... is a game changer.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs this season?
I hope so. They just need to be a bit more direct. Too much passing around. Just shoot.
What do you think of the performance tonight?
I thought it was pretty defensive. I wish the Dynamo would have had more offense. We got lucky with the goal.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs like this?
Hell no.
Boy, I have to put this disclaimer. That's the first time I listened to it. I didn't listen to it on purpose because I wanted to hear it fresh on the air. Boy, there was a lot of differing takes in there and a lot of very intelligent soccer takes.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I like the most about doing this little interviews.
By the way, you did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's, you know, there's a lot of soccer knowledge that we need to, you know, embrace, that we need to, you know, we really need to get in there and speak with people. And, you know, so call in, you know, like this is great, great talk.
Yeah, it's what we're trying to produce here. I mean, you heard everything from too much passing, not enough energy, game changer, the German guy is good, which I liked. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
That was great stuff. Great stuff from the Dynamo fans there. Wonderful. And, we're trying to get more people talking about it. So let's talk about the game. First half, I thought, was holding hands, both teams. By the way, this is St. Louis City. Dynamo were desperate to get points in this. They really, really needed it. In this game, they had lost three in a row. Huge. I think there was a huge sigh of relief at the end of that.
Oh, my God. It was a must. Houston needed to win this game. I was not very hopeful after the first half because I thought, you know, well, something has to happen here. I did not know how much Anali could play. I knew that he was going to come in eventually, but I did not know he was going to play so much. But it was immediate. The first ball he touched, you could see that there was something different about that player in that context, of course. You know,
he is electric, and for a team that, to me, sometimes overpasses it, and that is part of the strategy, though, because the Dynamo want to have control of games. Ben Olsen, this is the way they've decided to play. I don't know if it's – I hear people say it's not the most attractive selling point to me. Now, when you get Anali in that game, all of a sudden this product looks different. It's more exciting. People see an individual, and there is nothing that breaks down a tactical setup better than the individual player, and he did that.
It's exactly that. You know, you can have, you know, all the preparation in the world, you know, if you have the time to prepare the best game, the most tactical, the most perfect game that you have ever dreamed of. But then you have a player like that, and everything changes in 1 second. You know, it's just one break, and you're done.
Yeah, listen, if you're an exhausted defender and you're fatiguing and you got to go up against Lawrence Anali all of a sudden late in the game, but I want to see him as a starter eventually. I think all Dynamo fans do. I think he's our ticket to excitement down there right now and bringing some energy back. Attendance was not good. It was poor.
Yeah.
Very disappointing for me. Makes me sad every time I go in there and I see all these empty seats. I don't know what's being done about it, but it seems to be very consistent. One way of selling is obviously the way you play as well. Nobody's ever going to fault the Dynamo effort, energy. I understand why they want to play this possession game, but we also have to be realistic. They didn't replace with equal or better quality the four guys that they lost. Maybe in one case, but we'll see. Okay, I'm moving on here. Why in the name of collaboration are there MLS games going on when the U.S. national team plays? Does the Argentine First Division play when Argentina's national team plays?
Not the First Division.
What the heck is going on in this country?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, it's.
What are we doing?
I just don't understand, man. I it's really hard because why? You know, why? I just don't understand how something like that can happen. You know, it's more of the same. You know, we're talking about what are we doing for soccer in this country, and you just can't make that decision. You just can't.
By the way, I loved Guatemala's new jersey, like the sash, like Peru.
I love it.
By the way, it's kind of like a rebrand. They just seem like they gained a little bit of power under Tena. I love it.
And it makes a difference. You know, when you think about Inter, think about Inter Milan final Champions League, that yellow, whatever that was, you know. No, that doesn't help. It can never help.
You know what? I think teams are demystifying their jerseys. Look at Mexico's green jersey. Now that they're wearing purple and all this other stuff, I don't think it scares anybody anymore. Azteca doesn't scare anybody. I think the more we expand, the more it gets bigger and bigger, and the more we have to do seven different jerseys with colors, I do think it does chip away at some of the mystique. All right, that does it tonight for this segment. Coming up next, Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now. Big thank you to everybody tuning in tonight. Federico, thank you for coming in. Great
it's
as
always.
Always
a pleasure. Thank you.
Great job. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now. Don't
You have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, reminder here about Senate Avenue Brewing. It is a small batch brewery. It's open 7 days of the week, one of our great sponsors on this show. It is all meticulously crafted, award-winning beer. Great tap room, 7 screens, a beautiful patio that's dog-friendly. This is where we do our Soccer Matters live shows. And in July, it won't be the second Tuesday. It'll be July 22nd, so mark that down. July 22nd, the live show at Senate Avenue Brewing. Burgers, wings, bologna bowls. It's all about the fresh award-winning beer, though. They're a fantastic spot. You take 290, you exit Senate Avenue. It's right there. It's not a hard place to find. It's right off 290. It is Senate Avenue Brewing. We had a great time there this past weekend celebrating the birthday of a legendary figure in our Houston soccer community, Jim Walker. He turned 90 years old, the former Chicago Sting general manager in the North American Soccer League and the Houston Dynamos down here in the 80s. All right, with that, we bring in a great friend of the show, exceptional writer for American Soccer Now. He's Brian Sciarretta. He joins us now from the Garden State in New Jersey. Brian, how are you?
Always great, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so we had the two friendlies against Turkey and Switzerland. Everybody was ready to jump off the cliff. We're in the Gold Cup now. The U.S. have progressed nicely. They've regained some momentum and confidence. Maybe just some overall thoughts from you right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they still need to be playing better. But, you know, I think they're laying the foundation for, I think, is necessary down the road. There's a little more positivity around the program. There's a little more confidence. It's about there's a little more grit and determination, which has been missing over the past year. You know, and from there, you know, you hope as they move then after this tournament into the fall that they can start to put the case together, the pieces to play better. But it's been a positive tournament, and some important elements are slowly starting to come back to the team. So that's good.
Brian, are we naive to think that this was going to look like a well-oiled machine with a lot of young guys getting a lot of real opportunity? I think nothing but positive about that last game because of the types of individuals, the Max Darfsons, the Patrick Agyemans, the Freemans that are getting an opportunity here for the first time at this level on a consistent basis.
Yeah. I mean, they've been around the team now for 6 months. You know, it's time to level up. It's, you know, if they want to be playing for the national team, you know, the expectation is that they should be able to comfortably, you know, do well in CONCACAF. Like that's kind of been the standard over the last, you know, 15, 20 years. And it's a high standard, but I think it's pretty fair. You know, CONCACAF teams, you know, they can be tough. It's just that those games can turn into wars. You're no stranger to this federation. And I'm sure that your listeners know really what these games are like. They can be nasty. They can be dog fights, street fights, you know, that's CONCACAF. And some of these young guys are adapting well, but I like the fact that it's a mix of like some regular faces and some younger guys too. I think if you throw a whole team of new guys out there, there's no real way to judge things. But yeah, I think some guys are, you know, you're going to see stick around into the team into the fall. Not everyone when they bring back a lot of the known faces, but some guys have made cases for themselves to be in the mix and contend for a World Cup spot next year.
Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. We're talking U.S. Men's National Team. Response to the missed PK, response to conceding a very poor goal late to tie it 2-2. They did show some character in this to come back and ultimately get through the penalties, obviously with Matt Friis doing well.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's two ways you can handle adversity. You know, you can either crumble up or you can use it as a motivating factor. And And you're absolutely right. Like, if you remember last year when Tim Weah got that red card against Panama in the Copa America, yeah, they were playing down a man, but they really didn't show much fight. That they were capable of a lot more, even with 10 men. They just kind of crumbled up. This team's kind of not doing that, and I think that's really, really optimistic. You know, a couple things don't go their way. They bounce back, and they look to fight again. Still have a lot of questions about the team. Like, I think this team is in very – this particular roster is in very, very tough shape if Tyler Adams isn't on the field. And finding a plan B for if Tyler can't go is should be priority number one for Pochettino. But, yeah, I do like the fight in the team. I do like the fact that they're not willing to pack it in if a couple things don't go their way.
Who would be in the pole position to back up Tyler Adams for you?
You know, I think Pochettino came into this camp hoping Cardozo would be that guy, but Cardozo, as good of a player as he is not a replacement for Adams. When he tries to play in place of Adams, it's a disaster. I mean, you saw that against Switzerland, and you saw that against last year against Colombia, the 5-1 loss. Like, I think he's going to probably try to go back and look at Tanner Tessman. I think he's going to go back and look maybe at Aiden Morris, and then maybe if he's healthy and he gets back to playing for St. Pauli, James Sands, because he was doing really well before his ankle injury. You know, there's a couple different options of how to play it, but yeah, I don't think like guys like McKennie and Musa are suited to, or Cardozo, as I said, are suited to play that role in place of Adams. So yeah, it's still a work in progress. He has a couple options, but yeah, that's priority number one.
What you just said to me leads me to believe he's irreplaceable in my mind.
Absolutely.
None of those players you're mentioning right now has the experience, the range to replace a Tyler Adams. So that's a pretty dicey thing. That guy can't get hurt.
Absolutely.
All right, Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now, joining us. All right, you were very high on Freeman, tremendous athlete, certainly is a substantial MLS player. Still pretty naive in the final third of the field. I am getting a little bit tired of hearing that his father played in the Super Bowl. I know that. I mean, this just flows off people's tongues like there's no tomorrow. But a player with potential. All right, talk about him and Max Dorfston.
I mean, I think Freeman, you hit it nail on the head. He's green, but you know, if you look at the modern requirements of the fullback position, you know, how the game's being played now, there's more emphasis on athleticism from the right and left backs than ever before. And that's kind of like where his dad kind of comes in terms of the athleticism. Freeman's very, very, very gifted athletically, and that's going to intrigue a lot of people because they're on, and he's learning quickly too. This is his first season as a starter. I mean, I think he has maybe, don't hold me to it, but maybe like 12, I want to say 13 MLS starts in his career. You know, that's not a lot of soccer. But if you look at, in that regard, how quickly he's learned, it's exciting. I can see why they're taking a bet on his upside because, you know, like if he can max out his potential, he can do things that very few people can do in the pool. I think he's going to attract suitors inside the next year or two. There's going to be a nice price tag for him because there are probably people are going to want to develop that
I'm going to put the reins on you, Brian, and slow all that down because we've seen so many athletic right backs for the U.S. with huge, huge, huge drum rolls and buildups that I just say, let's let this kid flow before we start anointing him something. I mean, look, in the final third, he had a couple of moments where he really could have picked out the right ball in this game and didn't. But I'm rooting for him like everybody else. Now, what about Max Dorfston at left back? Because who's our natural replacement for Anthony Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what they see in Arfston. The problem I see with Arfston is I still see a player who's primarily at heart a winger. And he's only been converted to a left back under Wilfried Nancy. And that's a wing back role where they have like three center backs. And then he kind of plays further up the field. And now all of a sudden, this is really the first time he's really kind of been playing the pure left back role, with four across the back. And you can see spatially, especially defensively, he's not aware of the space behind him. You know, he gets into too many 1v1s defensively on this position, and he's in trouble. But that being said, he does have talent, like with the ball. He can get forward. He does have an eye for it, running into space, and his crosses are and putting balls in the middle are generally pretty good. That's why he has a bunch of assists in this tournament. So, you know, there is good and bad. I worry, though, that, like, he's going to go back to Columbus and just play the wing back role again. Where is he only going to be developing in this role and learning this role while he's with the national team? Because that could be problematic, you know. So, yeah, there's, you know, you have Robinson, and if he can't go, then I still think, you know, maybe Pochettino is inclined to shift Dest over or Scally over from the right side to the left. That's an option. If he doesn't feel comfortable with guys like Tolkien or Caleb Wiley, you know, guys that have come up through the youth programs with the U.S. and recently.
Yeah, it's a lot of time. You know, club form could potentially play really, really big in what happens in people making a World Cup. But I agree with everything you say about Arfton. Not a very good one-on-one defender, but comfortable going forward. He got his goal against Costa Rica as well. All right, Chris Richards seems to me not to be deferring as much now and showing a little bit more presence and character and maybe the word leadership.
Yeah, I mean, you're wondering when some of these guys who have been excelling for their clubs are going to start to see some of that translate over to the full national team. You know, it hasn't always been there for Richards consistently. You know, and this tournament, you're starting to see signs that, you know, he's ready to be the guy. Now, who is his partner moving forward? Is it really going to be really Tim Ream? I don't know. And if Tim Ream ages out, if Father Time eventually wins, and sometimes he can win really quickly, what's the plan B if Tim Ream can't go? So it's about finding a partner for Richards, because I think Richards is the guy, is the starter without a question. He's done well. He's anchored the back line. He's communicating well. I like everything that he's doing right now. You know, same thing with Malik Tillman. You're starting to see guys, you know, translate that club success to the national team, which there's been too many guys. That was an issue with too many guys. And it's starting to get resolved for some players too, which is a healthy sign.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up, because players like Luca Della Torre, Cardoso, we know they're good soccer players. It just doesn't seem to blossom at the national team level to the point where you say this guy could be a key component of the team. It just doesn't happen. So,
and
this,
you know,
this could be the Tillman breakout tournament.
Yeah, I was just saying Pochettino's fuses for that is pretty thin. I mean, that's why Josh Sargent, who was team of the season in the championship, isn't even here. I mean, he hasn't scored for the U.S. national team since 2019. Like, you know, I think at some point, you know, your good club form with good clubs gets you in the door. But if you don't produce for the national team, it's not an unlimited shelf life. So, you know, it's good to see some of these guys starting to turn that page. You just got to wait for other guys like Cardozo and others now have to kind of make similar long leaps.
Real opportunity for players in this Gold Cup. The U.S. Tomorrow will take on Guatemala, and then Mexico will be in the other semifinal against Honduras. And here in Houston, we will host the final. You can get your tickets at LSSE.net, LSSE.net, or you can win them tomorrow night on this our second version of our show this week, which is called Destination 2026. Okay, Mauricio Pochettino and this whole thing that he's interviewed with Brentford, any insight on that?
Yeah, I mean, Doug McIntyre over Fox had a good report about this too. That it's bunk. I don't know. I'm always hesitant to sometimes believe sensation, you know, hot stove rumor interest as they come out of the British press. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they're true. Sometimes they're just completely fabricated. You know, Mauricio, he's a class act. He's a smart guy. I don't think he would do something like that in the middle of a Gold Cup, or, you know, and get distracted. Now, that being said, you know, his contract's less than a year away from ending. So at some point he's going to be thinking about the future. That's fair. But yeah, I don't think he'd be looking to bail on this right now.
So Doug McIntyre debunked that he had the meeting with Brentford.
Yeah, he got the quote from he actually asked Pochettino point blank, and Pochettino gave a firm denial. So that was a good report.
Yep, good. Okay, that's what we like to hear. You know, the world is full of rumor, isn't it? Okay, so let's continue on here. Patrick Adjiman, I mean, the striker position, again, is one that's up for grabs. Mm-hmm. I get he's problematic with his athleticism for opponents. But, boy, that is still a position of real question for the U.S. national team.
Yeah, my heart of hearts thinks that Pochettino settled on Ricardo Pepi being the guy. Just my own gut feeling, let's call it this way.
Wait. Before you go on, tell me why Pepe's the guy, and he's injured.
Yeah, he's injured, but I thought he showed well. You know, he's looking for people he could trust first quickly, and I think he trusted. You know, Pepe delivered in those first couple games under Pochettino. He had nothing but really high things to say about Pepe. I think he's, you know, he likes the fact that he's played and scored in the Champions League, and you know, he's you know, there's a lot of different characteristics of a striker. He's not a slasher, but he does really, his hold up play is not like Adjiman. Like, he's not as physically strong, but he can still do it. I think he likes the way he can play off the wingers. I think there's a lot of things that ways that Pepe can help a team. And I think if Pepe's healthy, he's going to start for this team. Adjiman, though, still could make the World Cup team. You can't just bring Pepe. I think the, you know, if you watch that game against Costa Rica, everyone was, that first ball into the attack was going right to, as they were trying to transition from defense to offense, was going right to Adjiman. And then from there, they knew he could draw defenders and then play the ball out to other people. He was a real focal point of how the team moved into the final third or the final half. And I think Pochettino likes that.
Well, and he can't get beat up because he is a pretty strong guy physically. I don't think there's any question. But when it comes to being a footballer, I think we lean towards Ricardo Pepi. No question about that. So you have him at the top of the pecking order currently for Pochettino, Ricardo Pepi.
Yeah, I mean, I think he wants to look at Balogun at some point too. But it's my instinct, intuition, gut is that it's Pepi's job to lose.
All right, we're talking to Brian Shiretta, American Soccer Now, great, great writer. It's AmericanSoccerNow.com, right?
Yeah, you got it.
It is. That's where you find Brian's writings and a lot of good stuff over there. How about a quick thought on the FIFA Club World Cup and what you've thought about it, pros and cons?
I think it's gaining and it's getting better as the tournament progresses. It's going to take some time to digest even after the tournament in terms of what it meant to these guys. Is it just glorified preseason or not? My thoughts before the tournament was that South American teams are going to have to carry the enthusiasm gap and drag everyone with them. Be the ones that care most about this and make the European teams have to care about it. And I think that's kind of true. The Europeans have the Champions League. They have so much. The other teams want to be integrated with the European teams, and the South American teams are playing like a chip on the shoulder. And I think making themselves heard both in the field, on the field, and in the stands, and that's good. I think it's going to have to kind of continue into the final to make this tournament theirs, and then make Europeans have to try to fight back a little bit.
Yeah, some crazy results last night. Al Hilal of Saudi Arabia knocking off Manchester City yesterday. Fluminense getting past Inter Milan. I like your take because the South American teams have had a huge opportunity with this tournament to brand themselves, create awareness, show the world that there is a lot going down south of the border. It's not all Eurocentric. And America's pretty Eurocentric in a lot of ways when it comes to where we watch our soccer. It's Premier League, or Mexican League, right?
Yeah.
So I like that take. You know, I mean, you can't be embarrassed on a world stage, right? And if the Brazilians are here to play, it's been exciting. Brian, as always, a big thank you to you for coming on. Great insight. Love that final take there on the FIFA Club World Cup. Again, he's Brian Shiretta, AmericanSoccerNow.com, and we'll get Brian on after we see what happens in the Gold Cup semifinals again. Brian, thank you.
Anytime.
All right. That's Brian Shiretta. Away he goes. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Again, a reminder, Senate Avenue Brewing, July 22nd. We'll do our live show.
That is going to be a lot of fun out there. That's on 290 and Senate Avenue. Presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. They've been getting soccer on the airwaves for years. And you can get the podcast to this show, Spotify, Apple, or right here at ESPN975.com. For Brian McDonald, producer extraordinaire, I'm Glenn Davis. Until tomorrow night, remember, soccer matters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.